Good morning, church. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. I couldn't help myself. The top 10 bad dad jokes. Are you ready? I thought we needed that for Father's Day. Why are hairdressers never late for work? Because they know all the shortcuts. What do you call a girl who's been at the beach? Sandy. What do you call a pig that knows karate? Pork chop. What? These are bad. Have you heard about the new restaurant on the moon? The food is great, but there's no atmosphere. I gave all my dead batteries away today, free of charge. Are these funny? Say, oh, no. Okay. My boss told me to have a good day, so I went home. What did the lawyer name his daughter? Sue. What is Forrest Gump's password? One, Forrest, one. Well, on the Forrest Gump theme, what generation does Forrest Gump belong to? Gen A. Gen A. I like that one. That one was good. Okay, last but not least, where do you learn to make ice cream? In Sunday school. Okay? Yes, those are really horrible. No, hold your applause, please. If you're a father this morning, well, if not this morning, anytime. If you're a father, stand up. We want to recognize you.
Just today.
Just today. If you're a father today. Thank you, dads, for all you do for the family. Appreciate you very much. Go ahead and you can be seated. We'll be talking more to you in just a little while. So I have some big, important, awesome news. Are you ready? Our capital fund drive this past week, we surpassed $1 million. Yeah, not every time you get fireworks in church. Okay, cut. So, now part of that was we had some building money set aside before we started, but much of that has been raised by your generosity and God's faithfulness these last few months. We appreciate that. That does not include the $500,000 match. So really we're at about 1.5, actually. So excited about that. So let's invite the Holy Spirit into this place. Let's give thanks to God's provision, His gratefulness to us, His faithfulness to us. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. You are our Heavenly Father. Lord, we all have different experiences, different encounters with our earthly fathers, some good, maybe not so good. But Father, we all have You. You are our Heavenly Father. You are good. You are a good, good, good Father. And Lord, we celebrate that today. We recognize that today, and we lift You high and exalted. Would You send Your Holy Spirit into this place? Stir us today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll rise, if you're able, let's worship together. Oh, okay.
Silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that comes.
If the children would come forward, sorry.
Oh, I know. You were the first one. That's good. How's everybody this morning? Everything good? Tired? Oh, yes. Oh, it looks like we're going to have some rain here in a little bit. You think? Maybe? You like rain? I like rain. Rain is good, right? Because it waters the earth, right? Well, men can get, yes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There's a 1% of getting struck by lightning from men, but there's a 0.0001% chance of getting struck by girls.
Okay, all right. We got our math lesson today, so all right. Hey, Quincy, how are you? Well, good. I am so glad that you are here today. So what do y'all think about our stage? What do you think about our stage? You, yes? Yay! Are you... What? You want the Hersheys back there?
Yeah. I would like the marshmallows.
You like the marshmallows? They're the big marshmallows. Yeah. You like our deer over here? Yeah. And the hut and the log cabin. I know. Yeah. So are we ready for our adventure?
Yes.
Yeah. So where are we going to be adventuring to this coming week?
What? The woods.
The woods in Alaska. Oh. Have you ever thought about it? Are they having a heat wave? Okay. So who has been to Alaska? Has anybody been to Alaska?
That sounds like a beautiful...
You've been to Alaska?
I've been to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? Okay. Well, I guess Wisconsin, Alaska, it works. Okay. You've been to Wisconsin, too. Okay. Well, I've never been to Alaska, but I would love to go to Alaska because it's a beautiful place to go, isn't it? Right? You see wonderful things and lots of forest. You know, it has lots of forest there with lots of trees and all the wild animals and everything. And so when you're there, you can go on a journey into the wilderness. Have you ever thought about going into a journey on a wilderness?
Yes.
Yeah. Would that be fun?
Yes.
So if you were going into the wilderness on a journey, what would you take with you?
Water.
A survival kit.
You would take a survival kit, and you said?
Water.
Food. And what?
Food.
Yeah, I brought vanilla wafers and goldfish. Will that be enough?
I'll bring some marshmallows.
Bring some marshmallows? Okay. Well, I'm hoping I wouldn't be gone very long if I went on a out in the wilderness.
I have to bring that very much stuff for a barbecue.
Yeah. It might attract bears, yes. And you would take a backpack because you want to carry it, right? And you want to have good shoes to wear. Do what? Attract a bear, yeah. And you would need other supplies. But then I would also think about taking a what?
A compass.
Okay, what is a compass? Raise your hand. Let's see if you can. Okay, Jace. Right. It gives us directions, doesn't it? Do you know what a compass, do you know what direction a compass always points? It always points north. Okay. So here's the question of the day. Which way is north?
Oh, yeah, this way.
That's north. We're going north. Okay. You were right. Okay. So if that's north, what is behind? What do we go this direction?
West.
No?
South.
And then what do you think this is?
East
and then west. All right. So a compass always points north. So you can know which way is always north. So it can help you follow to get out. If you're lost, you would need a compass to help you get out, right?
Oh, you would park your car.
You would park your car. You'd try to figure out where your car was parked, right? Yeah. So, yeah. So a compass is something that's handy and, you know, and to take with you. And it always points north so you can know the direction you need to go. So did you know, I was thinking about this, that life can sometimes feel like a really big adventure. And there are times in our life that we feel lost, we feel powerless, that we need help, that we need hope, when we're afraid, when we're lonely, and when we're scared. Do you ever feel those ways? Do you ever feel those ways in your life? Yeah, yeah. So do we need a compass?
Yes.
What is our compass?
God.
Jesus is our compass, right? If we turn to Jesus in all of those times, or even good times turning to Jesus, is he going to always point us in the right direction?
Yes.
Yes. Do you? What does he give us to help us to know what direction he gives? He gives us the Bible. That's right. And look at my Bible. What does it have on the front?
A compass.
And a map. That's right.
You always need a map.
You always need to take a map with you. Yes. Yeah. So that's right. So we need something to point us in the right direction. And we can talk to God about everything. So if you were in the wilderness and you were lost, could you talk to God? Do you think he could help you? Yes, he can. But if you're at school and you feel kind of lost or lonely, can you talk to God?
Yes.
Is he going to help you?
Yes.
Yes, he is. So every day in our wild world, we can always trust Jesus and God and know that they never change, they never leave us, that they are always there. Did you know that? They are always with us wherever we go. He doesn't stay home. Do you think God stays home?
No.
He goes with us. He is our true north. That's right. That's right. He is. Yeah. So it, as my shirt says, it says Jesus is, what does it say? The true north. Reading it upside down is kind of hard. Jesus is the true north. And it's got a little compass on the little north. So the shirt can remind you to always trust Jesus and that he will point you in the right direction. So are you going to follow Jesus and let him be your compass?
Yes.
See, that's right. So we want to follow Jesus in life every day so he can be your compass. And it says in John 14:6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the way for everything in our life. Okay? He loves us so much that he will point us in the right direction. Okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Yeah?
You also need something to a camping thing.
A camping thing? Yes. Okay. The eagles can get it? Okay. Yeah? All right. Okay. Well, let's say a prayer. Okay? All right. Is that right? Yes. Let's say a prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. And I thank you that you always point us in the right direction. And I thank you that you give us your word that will give us the direction that we need to go in every season and every time of our lives. When we're afraid or lonely or powerless or we need hope, whatever it is, Lord, that you will always point us in the right direction. And you are always with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just bless our day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's go.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. Hello, Larry. How are you? Good to see you again. Welcome. Go ahead and check into the service through the app if you'd like to do that. For those of you worshiping with us at home, you can check into the online service. Vacation Bible School starts tonight. This building is going to be occupied for the next 3 days, and so there will be no Monday prayer time tomorrow. Tonight is family night. It starts at 5:30 and it runs until 7:30, and everybody's invited to family night. You don't have to have children or grandchildren. Just come and worship with us and fellowship with us. We'll have a meal: hamburgers, hot dogs, chips, and ice cream sundaes, I believe. Is that right? Thumbs up over there. So come join us tonight for that. And then Vacation Bible School is the next 3 days from 9 to 12. I think we have 225 kiddos signed up. Yes. And typically a lot of signups happen late, so that number could swell from there. Our Wednesday night starts back, not this Wednesday night, but the 25th. And so if you want to get involved in a community group for the summer, just look. Hello? I guess I'll have to talk loud. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. We're back on. All right. Thank you. Artless, if you did that, thank you. Lord, thank you if you did that. Where was I?
Wednesday nights.
Yeah, connect with me if you want to get involved with a community group for the summer. We'll run 5 weeks for the summer. So let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We getting the TVs back on? Trying to. Well, since Vacation Bible School starts tonight, I want that to be our prayer focus. And, you know, it's easy just to jump through the VBS hoops. You know, the Carlene and team have made some plans, and it's easy just to invite kids to come, and this week comes, or these 3 or 4 days comes and goes with no significant impact on the lives of people. And it's our desire that everybody that comes, everybody that serves, has a dramatic encounter with Jesus Christ. And that's our heart. A lot of these children, they're not part of our church. Some of them are not part of any church. And so, man, what a great opportunity for them to be introduced into the love of Jesus Christ himself. And so this morning, I would like to pray over those who have volunteered to serve. And also, if there's any children in the room that's going to be part of this week as well. So if you are a servant, I'm going to invite you to come up front and huddle up. And if you're a child here, you're going to attend Vacation Bible School, you can come as well. Bring your parents with you, and we'd like to pray over you. To make a little better huddle here. So y'all come on out. Like you love each other. And this isn't really that difficult. Y'all just kind of, yeah. All right, we're getting there. All right, there you go. Somebody take charge. If anybody wants to come and lay hands on these, let's surround them and lift them up to the Lord. All right, church, pray with me. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this week to provide the love of Christ in a way that resonates with children. Father, there are eternal things at stake this week. So would you give us your perspective of what's really going on here? I mean, we could do this thing. We could do this thing and nothing happen. But Father, it's our desire that there be deep and profound encounters with the Holy Spirit this week for those kiddos and for those servants. Father, I just pray for those children, God, as they walk in the door, I just pray, Father, that they just sense your presence And Lord, that their hearts are stirred deeply. Father, if they know you, I pray that they come to know you more deeply. And Lord, if they don't know you, I pray that this is a week of salvation for those kids. And Father, we may be planting seeds for some. And Lord, we're going to trust that somebody's going to come along and water those seeds and growth's going to take place. Father, we want you honored. We want you glorified this week. And we need you in order to do that. Father, I thank you for these servants, those that have taken time off of work, those who have taken time away from maybe busy family schedules. God, I pray that you bless them. I pray that you honor their service, and I pray that you surprise them with your goodness this week. Lord, let them encounter you in maybe deep and profound ways. Father, if they're passing out snacks, God, I pray that they're filled with the Holy Spirit as they pass out snacks. I just pray that there's some sauce on those snacks, that the kids, when they receive those, that God, they're just impacted. That they receive the love of Christ through the hands of those who pass those out. And Father, whatever the function is, for those leaders who are leading kids around this week, I pray that you give them incredible patience. And Lord, would you just bless them with kindness and goodness so they can spread that to those kids. Now, Father, again, we could do this, easily do this. We're good planners, but we just don't want to plan. We want to see you involved. So, Lord, impact us for your glory this week. Fill this place with your presence. Protect us from the evil one. And God, we'll give you the glory for it at the end of the day. And we love you for who you are. We trust you, fully trust you, that you're going to accomplish your purpose if we allow you to. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, servants. Thank you, children. Thank you, church, for your financial faithfulness. There are some giving options on the screen. I also want to remind you of opportunities to be prayed over after the service. You know, we have some prayer team members, all of them you can trust. And they have a heart for people. They have a gift of mercy. They have a gift of encouragement. And I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not gonna beg you to come and be prayed for, but I would hate for them to have something to offer this morning and that not come to fruition because somebody, I don't know. Am I making any sense? That give them an opportunity to minister to you if you need prayer, okay? Also, I want to remind you that the altar is always open during our worship times. And let's dedicate the rest of this service, if we haven't already, to the Lord. And let's seek Him deeply as we continue to worship Him.
Oh God, you. Re-
Well, good morning again. Happy Father's Day. Last week, if you were here, I preached as Pentecost Sunday, preached on the Holy Spirit, and kind of had a goofy analogy. Does anybody remember the Superman cape? Well, I can always count on the congregation to help me out here. So I will receive this morning. See if you can zoom in on that there, Dennis. You see it? We don't have TVs. Hey. You can be someone. You know the S, I was thinking about the S on Superman's cape, actually for us, could be spirit. Ooh. Thank you, Grace, for that, I think. I think that was a thank you. So if you are our guest this morning, we are glad that you're here. We kind of had a little rain shower out there a while ago. But we have you looking this way, so you're not supposed to look out there. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, says guest registration. Would love to meet you. Would love for you to fill that out. At the end of the service, I'll be down at this end of the foyer. Have a free gift for our guest. Would love for you to come and meet me. Joshua 24 is where we are today. Now, I want to set this up a little bit. So Joshua is now leading the nation of Israel. He's taken over from Moses. They've entered into the promised land, and he's gathering the people of Israel to tell them what the Lord has to say to them, and then he is also responding himself at the end of these verses. So let's see what's going on with Joshua and with the Lord, what he would have us hear. Joshua 24, verse 1. And Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." So he's quoting the Lord here. "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country to Seir to Esau, of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there and brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians, the Lord says. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you, but I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as also did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and a whole bunch of other sites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Joshua is turning it to what he says. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the rivers or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? We thank you that you are our good Father. As we give thanks and celebration for our earthly fathers today, and pray blessings on them. But Father, we lift you high and above all things because you are our heavenly Father. Send your Holy Spirit, speak to us in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is, as for me and my house. Now, there's so much to unpack here. I'm just going to dive right in. I'll say this on Mother's Day, and I'll say it again today. It's I don't know if other pastors, if y'all found this difficult, but you know, you try to speak a word on those days relevant to the mothers or the fathers, but also for all of us. And so I'm going to be referring to a father, but I also think that these words apply to each of us in different ways. So first of all, a father is called to remember God's faithful provision. It all starts there, what God has done for us. If we want to be a godly person, if we want to be a godly father, we must remember God's faithful provision. God, he's laying it out in this passage. He's reminding the Israelites have a decision to make. They're now in this new land, and God has done all these miraculous things and provided all these wonderful provisions for them. And yet they have come to this place where they're trying to decide, do I continue to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or do I worship these other gods in the land that we dwell? God he reminded them just a few of the things. He reminded them that God provided Abraham a new land with many descendants. God sent Moses to free his people from slavery. God wiped out the Egyptian army that was trying to destroy Israel. God provided for Israel for 40 days in the desert as they only spent 40 years in the desert because they were disobedient. And even in the midst of their disobedience, God still provided for them each of those 40 years. God defeated all of Israel's enemies in Canaan as they're entering into this land. And I love these two quotes. God gave them the land they did not toil for, and they live in the cities they did not build. God is saying, look what I have done. You've got this choice to make. Do you continue to worship me, or do you worship these other gods? But before you make that decision, remember what I've done for you. I was reflecting on that for myself, and there's so much that God has done for me, and I just listed a few things that kind of floated to the top for me. The first thing is God has provided me grace and mercy and forgiveness and hope through the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I am unworthy to receive that, but God has blessed me with that, his faithful provision to me. God has blessed me with a loving family that I love, and I think they love me back. That I'm very, very thankful for and grateful for. God has blessed Cheryl and I and our kids with being a part of a wonderful church family. You had to kind of be in my head 20 something years ago when I was crying out to the Lord. It didn't have to be big. I mean, it could have been 5 people, 10 people. I just wanted to be a pastor. I just wanted to pastor people. And God can do exceedingly more than we can ask or imagine. He provided a wonderful church to love and be loved by this family. And there's so many other things that I could list in my own life. But I want to give you an opportunity to shout out, what are some, as you remember, as you're reflecting, what are some ways that God has been faithful to you in his provision? Just say it.
Family.
Our family.
Safety.
Health.
Forgiveness.
Peace.
Love.
Shout it out where I can hear you.
Church family.
Hope.
Salvation.
Provision.
Or something else I didn't hear.
Friends.
Really, the list is long, isn't it? The list is long.
God is saying, we all, just like the nation of Israel, we have a choice. Who are we going to worship? Who are we going to align behind and follow? The world pulls us in a lot of different directions. And God's saying, before you make the decision, I want you to remember what I've done for you. And one of the greatest ways that he does that is when we partake of the Lord's Supper. What did Jesus say? When you do this, remember me. Remember what I've done for you.
A father... And you can, ladies, don't feel secluded. You can put your name in there as well.
A father is called to remember God's faithful provision before we make any of these choices that we have. Secondly, a father is called to lead his family boldly. Lead his family boldly. Joshua, he's telling the nation. He gathers them together. He tells the nation what the Lord has said. Remember all these things that I've done for you. And then Joshua turns to his own words in verse 15. He says, okay, we've been asked to remember these things. It's out there. We have this choice to make. You guys choose for yourself.
Every one of us, he's saying, every one of us has a decision to make who we're going to follow. You choose for yourself. But as for me and my household, he steps out of just being the leader of Israel. He steps into, I'm also a father and a husband. I have a household. I have a family. And he speaks for them. A father's called to lead his family boldly. Joshua declares spiritual leadership over his household. And I believe it's a model for us. Men, if you need to leave or draw back your feet or whatever, I'm going to step on some toes today. I think by and large, too many times, I see wives and moms being the spiritual leader of their home. I see it too many times. I see it in this church. I'm not pointing fingers. I've seen it over the last 20 years that where there'll be a mom bringing her children to church and he's tired. He's asleep or he's playing golf or he's fishing or he's just chilling out, watching the ball games, whatever. Men, that's not God's plan for us. It's not his design for us. He's called us to lead our family boldly. A father should set the spiritual tone for their family. A father. And our culture, Ephesians 5, and I talk about this verse a lot when I'm doing premarital counseling or at a wedding, and where God, did you know that God has the perfect blueprint for marriage? If we just followed it, there in the church, those of us in Christ, and I'm not condemning anyone. I know many of us have gone through divorce, and there's all sorts of circumstances. But I believe in the body of Christ. If we followed God's design for marriage, there'd be far fewer broken families. And the plan is, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I tell these new husbands that are coming into a marriage, I was like, you're the church. So what God is saying is, love your wife as Christ loves you. Well, how did Christ love you? He humbled himself for his bride. He became obedient even to death for his bride. He placed her needs above his own. And then Ephesians 5 goes on to say that not only should the husband love the wife as Christ loved the church, but the wife should honor and respect her husband. And I'm telling you, if husbands, fathers, if we love our wives like that, I guarantee you our wives will honor and respect us. Is it not? I guarantee you they will honor and respect us if we love them as Christ loved the church. Our culture, well, husbands, that's chauvinistic or whatever. No, loving, sacrificing yourself, humbling yourself for your wife and family, that's bad? That's a bad thing? Our culture seems to think it is because they don't understand it. And I will also say this, our children and our grandchildren are watching. Fathers, are you hearing me? They're watching. They're watching to see how you treat your spouse. They're watching to see how you lead your family. They're watching to see if your words match up with your actions, how you behave at home and in public. The great commandment, we find it in Deuteronomy 6. But one piece of this that we don't go there very, very much. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The love of the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Now, this is the part we miss. Impress them on your children. Love the Lord your God. Impress that upon your children. Talk to them about it when you sit at home and when you walk around along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Impress them upon your children and talk about it. Now, I'm going to do some toe tapping here. I want to preface what I'm fixing to say by this. I was raised, I've talked about this, I loved sports. I mean, everything I could sign up for, I played. I loved sports, I loved it. And a lot of my great memories growing up is my dad and I and my brother playing catch out in the yard. It was either a baseball or a football, or my brother and I'd go and play basketball together. Those are great memories, and I to this day I still love sports. But I'm telling you, we are doing our kids a disservice if we teach them that sports trumps God. Amen. And I see it in our culture all the time. I see it. Good, godly people, I see it. I'm just saying, and again, I know I'm stepping on some toes, and I don't apologize for that because I believe the Lord's leading me to share this. I know this. While I played catch with my dad, and I have great memories about all of that, if there'd been a ball game on Sunday, I guarantee you, I know what Dad would have said. We ain't playing that one. We ain't playing that one. We'll just let the coach know. You'd be without a first baseman. Man, and I know many of you probably wonder why I'm not a pro athlete. You probably just see. It's obvious that I should have been. But I came to a point, I remember when I was a kid, I was really pretty good. I was pretty good. And the older I got and the more competition I got, I realized I ain't that good. And eventually, unless you're really a special, you know, this percent of person, you're going to come to a point where the sports are going to end. But your walk with Jesus doesn't end. And as Billy prayed about our VBS, these are eternal matters we're talking about here. I mean, these are eternal things. And if we're teaching our children that, you know what, basketball trumps God, that's more important. Baseball trumps God, that's more important. Soccer trumps God, that's more important. Volleyball trumps God, that's more important. And I, like I said, I love sports. This is not an anti-sport thing, and don't put sign your kids up for it. I'm just saying, it is our job, fathers, to lead our family boldly for Christ. Amen. To set an example, to set the spiritual tone, to set the priorities. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, bring your children up in the training and instruction of sports. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. In the training and instruction of the Lord. Joshua says, remember all these things that God just reminded us of? Remember all the things He's done for us? And we're sitting here in this land where there's all these other gods that are pulling at us, wanting us to worship them. And for us, maybe it's not that sort of God. Maybe it's these other gods. God, but Joshua says, I'm reminding you, the Lord's reminding us of what He's done for us. And you guys, we all have a choice to make. I choose Jesus. I choose the Lord. Everybody else got their choices to make, but for me and my household, we choose the Lord. It's a done deal. Faith requires an intentional choice. What do we worship? Who do we worship? What do we cling to? And then finally, a father is called to leave a godly legacy. And we're speaking, I'm already speaking into that point. Joshua says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua's leadership wasn't just for that time, it wasn't just for the nation of Israel. He was making an impact and a statement for his family. He was shaping generations to come that were coming through his family. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says it this way: a righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Now, again, I'll go back to my dad. My dad, I miss my dad. I love my dad. He was a great man. He wasn't a perfect man. None of us are. But the thing that, and I love thinking back to the memories of sports, playing catch with my dad and my brother, and I love all of those memories. But I'll tell you what my dad really left me. He left me a legacy. He left me a legacy of integrity that I can be proud to try to walk under that legacy that my dad left me. There's a song we're going to close with. Probably, at least currently, probably my favorite song, my favorite worship song. And it's I Speak Jesus. And it's by the artist Crystal Gayle, sings it, as others probably do too. But I just want to read you a couple, two or three lines here from that song that we're going to sing. And this is a very significant song and a very significant part of that song to me. And it says this: shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. Fathers, we got to step it up and lead. This is not a message of shame. I hope it's a message of conviction. I got to step it up. What legacy are we leaving, building and leaving as fathers? We hold a place of enormous importance. The praise team will come on back up. If you'll pray with me. Father, I confess as myself that I do not lead as well as I should and could. Empower me and empower all of us to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to live with such integrity, to lead our families boldly, to remember what you've done for us as the foundation, to remember the sacrifice of the cross. Should have been us nailed to the cross, but you went and took our place. And we remember and celebrate that this day. Would you empower us to love our families well, to lead our families well, to love as Christ as you've loved us. We love you. We pray it in that strong and powerful name, Jesus. Amen. If you'll rise, if you are able, as we close, please don't leave this place today. If the Lord, as Billy said, we have people to pray with you. If the Lord is convicting you and you don't know him, please don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. Thank you. Just a reminder tonight, our family night for Vacation Bible School is at 5:30. All are welcome. I hear that Carlene has hired two world-renowned explorers come straight from Alaska. They will be here. You don't want to miss that. I hear they're awesome. And happy Father's Day to each of the fathers. We each, not just the fathers, each one of us, we have a choice to make who we will worship. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord because He loves us. That is good news. God bless you. Have a great week.
Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.